come to us tonight with a fresh word. Would you please welcome her as she comes right now? God bless you, Pastor Carolyn.
I'm going to come down here because I like to see your face. And up there, all I can see is lights. And it's kind of high, and I'm not quite as tall as the majority of the people here behind that pulpit. So I'm going to be just speaking down here. And anybody wants to come join us in the middle, that's fine. But if you're back there and you can hear me and you can see me, that's just fine too. Thank you for Pastor Sam for allowing me to speak here tonight. It's always a privilege to come to your home church and be able to speak for the Lord. And yes, why would I want to be in Florida if it's 60 degrees there, if I can be here and it's snowing? I want to be there if it's 90 and I can swim at the beach. But if it's going to snow, I want to be here. So we're really glad to be here. When I was preparing this lesson now, does everyone have a handout? Everyone, if you do not have a handout, please raise your hands. We've got one over here, and we may have a couple others. So when I was preparing this lesson in my mind, I thought to myself, what is really pressed on my heart in the past days, recently, this year, today? And what is it that people really need to be reminded of? And what I'm going to speak about, many may have already heard over and over again, but this may be good news to some of you that don't know it. And what I'm going to speak on tonight is God's covenant promises to you, or children under the covenant. Now, you have inside your handout a little note sheet that has all the scriptures that I will reference. So you can look at those. I did not write them out, but you can go back and read those for yourself and mark them in your Bible. So I have good news for you. Because of your faithfulness as a child of God, this word tonight applies to you, and you can build your faith on it. Many of us have served the Lord for years and years and years and prayed for our children, and many have broken hearts because of the choices that their children and grandchildren have made. Children that have been raised in the church and raised in the world, and children that are living in the world refusing God's future or plan for their lives after everything they've been taught. Parents over time get discouraged, they get disheartened, wonder if sinning Sammy will ever be saved, if backslidden Benny will ever come back to the Lord, or if lukewarm Lucy will ever really be sold out. And there's many that have prayed and many that have not yet seen prayer answer, but don't give up. Because the Bible has something to say to us, the children of God, the ones that are faithful to his word and the ones that are under his blood purchase covenant that God the Father has through us through Jesus Christ. And this covenant includes our children, okay? Now, there's enough evidence in the scripture to build a solid foundational understanding and belief of what we can expect from God. Now, people, I do not have to tell you after what Pastor Sam was saying today that we're living in the last days. And the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And you can take that literally. And we live in a critical time, and the enemy is working overtime to kill, steal, and destroy our children. And we can see what's evidenced in the schools. Cultural changes dictate that our children be open-minded and our educational systems propagated. It's not only throwing off the children's equilibrium and reversing their spiritual values, but our nations as well. And the LGBT crusade that began earlier, about 10 years ago, and an administration prior to the one in the present, it has now infiltrated our society. And an alternative gender identification has been cemented already into our society's fabric. The liberal agenda has infiltrated not only the government, the schools, the family, but also the church. Sexual perversion, something that we used to call sin, is now reduced to alternative lifestyle, no longer winked at or pushed aside. And many denominational churches are supporting it, and lesbians and transgenders and homosexuals are now in the pulpits as ordained ministers. And overall, we live in a society that's being brainwashed, and it seems we have little control over it. And if you look back into history, when nations began to decline in their rights as citizens, the children were the first that were indoctrinated, the first. They were the ones brainwashed. And now the leaders that our children are supposed to look up to and pattern their lives after are no longer credible examples. And if we refuse the teaching, the propaganda which refutes our Christian heritage, our personal values, then we, the parents, the conservatives, if we speak up, we're deemed as fanatics, heretics, haters, racist. And all of a sudden, we are very offensive. Amen? And we wonder why our children are confused and they don't want to live by what the Bible says. Okay. As far as adult children, because we're talking about them too, many have strayed from their foundational principles that they've been taught, accepting other winds of doctrines that are proven detrimental. They turn into adults and they say, "Dad, I'm sorry, but I don't believe the way you do. Mom, the ways you've taught me are not necessarily the only way to live. You see, your truth is not my truth. I have to find my own truth." You see, everything is relative. And then when we try to instill truth in them and they reject what is best for them, they do it because they know better than we do. They have arrived and they have all the answers. And then they go off and they find their truth and they get involved in lifestyles that are offered on a silver platter, appealing, alluring, seducing, and very destructive. And when we as parents tell them that, talk to them about their sinful behavior and the need to walk holy before the Lord, you've told that to your children, needing to pray and reject the debauchery of this society, then we're offensive. And as truth is rejected, their hearts become hardened and calloused. Because our children live in a different time and culture that most of us were raised in, it might be safe to say, we really maybe don't know our children. I had an adult, a young adult, recently say it was inappropriate for parents to advise them spiritually now because they're adults. Inappropriate. When did we quit becoming parents? And I'm pretty sure the scripture about honoring your mother and father doesn't cease at the age of 18 or 21. And then we as parents, we get very stressed and perplexed, and it's really scary. And we wonder, how did this happen to our children? How did it happen to my children? I mean, I've done everything I know to raise this child in the knowledge of the Lord. How did this happen? And it can feel very disheartening. After all, we can only teach our children and train them as well as we can after a certain age. So we ask God, "God, what is it going to take for these children to come back to the truth of the Bible and away from the deception that the world is offering? Is there any hope? Is it too late? What does the Bible say? And is it only for young children, or is it also for adult children with their own free will?" Well, guess what? I have good news. Everything is not hopeless. Everything is not hopeless. The world may be gone to hell in a handbasket, but our children don't have to be headed that way to a devil's hell. Amen? Not on our watch. God has some promises out there for us as parents to stand on, and we should be really relieved and encouraged because He knows that we had the best of intentions when we were raising them, and He honors that even if we didn't do it right. God knows the strategy of the enemy. He knows the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But good news, God has a strategy too. And who do you think is going to win? God knows in advance the strategies the devil plans to use on our children. But if we ask God for help, yes, even if they're adults, God will help because their hearts are still impressionable. We serve a God that has not been taken by surprise by anything the enemy pulls on our children or anything that the children have fallen prey into. And it's never too late. After all, He is the eternal God that knew our children from the foundation of the world. Now, let's talk about a child from a Christian home. Now, why do you think a child from a Christian home is a target of the enemy? Well, I'm going to tell you. Number one, as you know, the devil wants to take as many to hell as he can, and that includes our kids. A pastor once said, If the devil can't send us to hell, he'll make it hell on earth for us here on earth when it comes to our children. Well, that makes a lot of sense because it breaks our heart when our children don't have the spiritual maturity to recognize the tactics of the enemy, the hell he has prepared for them, and the hell on earth he will make for them here and now. So number one, the devil wants to take as many to hell as he can, and that includes our children. But there's something else. A child from a Christian home is a target of the enemy because, number two, your child is a child of the righteous. You are the righteous, and your children are children of the righteous. That's me and you. They've been taught the word. They've been prayed for by the righteous. And if they were saved, their spirit has known the Spirit of God at one time or another, and the devil knows that their spirit will continually be drawn by the Spirit of God as long as we're praying. And I have more news for you. A child from a Christian home is the target of the enemy because your child is a ticking time bomb with the potential to do great damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And I have better news. Your child is a ticking time bomb with the potential to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. Amen. We're seeing it in our children's lives. Things are changing, and I know it's because of prayer. Because it's not because of anything I could possibly say now. It's because of prayer. Think about this. Your child has the potential to do great damage to the kingdom of darkness and do great exploits for the kingdom of God. So the devil has declared war on our children. And as Christians, the body of Christ, as parents, the devil's greatest retaliation against us is our children. He hates us. And he's frantic to destroy them before the time bomb goes off. So he hasses them as much as he can. Is there any hope? Yes, there is. Good news. Get ready for this. God has declared war on the devil. Amen. God has declared war on the devil by announcing the seed of the righteous, that's me and you, will crush Satan under their feet. Ever since creation, Genesis 3, 14 and 15, the devil's been fighting to defend himself against the children of God and the children of God's people. Our children are the devil's ultimate threat in these last days. We are in the last days. Look around. And our children that have been raised, they're a threat. They're a weapon, and that makes the devil angry. How many of you had children that were prophesied over? I know I have. Oops. I know I have, and so has Bill, of the children that were going to greatly affect the kingdom of God, do mighty exploits for God, and maybe even started out that way, but somehow got distracted, got detained, got wounded, got seduced by the enemy. Many of us know what I'm talking about. Children that seems to have just fallen through the cracks, even when we did the best that we knew how to do. This generation is the last generation, and Satan knows this is the last generation. And these children of believers that were raised in the knowledge of God's word, they are a threat. But he knows there's an army out there that's getting to fight this last day's war, our kids. And this army are children that are beneficiaries of spiritual knowledge that we as parents have passed on. And this knowledge that our children have been taught in, it boosts their capacity to exercise spiritual authority that God has given them. You see, every generation has lived for God. Think about third and fourth generations. I'm a fifth generation Pentecostal. Thank you, Jesus. But every generation that has lived for God is a greater threat to the devil because of their heritage. Have you ever wondered why some of the TV ministers are so they're so effective? Because some of them that are walking in such authority are third and fourth and fifth generation. And every generation increases in spiritual capacity, increasing spiritual authority in the assaults of the devil. And this is why they're effective and preach and have such authority. Now, I believe that we're living in an age when we're going to see the people in this room, our authority is going to increase, and the words of our mouth is going to become more powerful than ever. And this last generation is going to take the world by storm. So it's time for us to stake our claim for the children of God, our children, and us all be part of it. Now, parents, I tell people this all the time in the altar, and it's proven true. Parents, if you've never fought for your child, it's time to start fighting now. We can't be lackadaisical. We can't be lazy. It's time to start fighting. It's time to get your Bible out and start putting the Word of God in action. Amen. It's time to start telling the devil, devil, notice, devil, watch out, because I'm taking back what is legally mine. It's time to say, devil, get your hands off my kids, because we hold claim to our children and their future. They belong to us, so therefore we speak in faith that they are a future victorious generation. Now, I have a little bit more news for you. A child, a child from a Christian home is the target of the enemy because, drum roll, we have already won. We have already fought in this room. If you're a child of God, we have already fought the good fight of faith in Jesus Christ. So it's time to take your Bible out and start prophesying over your children. And for you moms out there, the devil knows not to mess with an angry mom. Amen? Amen. The devil knows we love our children and we'll fight. But you know what? Before love can win a fight, it's got to get mad. And it's time to get mad. I heard Jensen Franklin say recently, never underestimate the power of a praying mom. Even an older mom that can't give anymore, that can't serve anymore, and can't work anymore, she can still pray. Yes, amen. Yes. You see, a mother's prayers can get her children through storms, crises, family troubles, and they come through it and they go, wow, we got through. And then they don't even realize it's because of a mother's and a dad's prayers. And you single parents, are there any single parents out here? We've got a few, man. I was for 10 years. I got good news for you. God has a special place in his heart for your prayers, for your children, because it was never meant for you to fight for your children alone. Rest in that. You are not fighting alone. God will fight with you and for you, and he will be your husband, and he will be your father. Now, side note, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, one day she was a single mom. I'm sure Jesus' heart was moved with compassion for his mother because she was a woman in society struggling without a husband. Would he be any less compassionate for a single mom today? So, what does the Bible say about our children? Let me preface the scripture I'm going to give with this. Hebrews 13:8. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in the Old Testament, these scriptures are on your handouts. In the Old Testament, Genesis 17 and 7, God established a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And it was a perpetual covenant. It was everlasting. And it annually provided a sacrifice for their sin. And this covenant extended to his descendants. Okay? We're his descendants. But the Old Testament also prophesied of one that was going to come that would fulfill the requirements of the law and be a sacrifice for our sin once and for all. So when Jesus was sent by the Father to be the propitiation for our sins, his sacrifice replaced all the old sacrifice, thus fulfilling the Old Testament law. And his death and resurrection provided a new covenant that was better than the old covenant, with better promises and better gifts for us. Now, then in Galatians 3:16, it more specifically states that the covenant renews the blessing, the Abrahamic blessing, through Jesus Christ. So that means when God makes promises, they are not dispensational. Amen? The promises of the Old Testament are ours as well as the Old Testament. You see, if God in the Old Testament made promises to the children, then the same God works in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. Then God the Father hears the prayers of his children, us, especially since Jesus is standing in as our advocate to plead the cause for us. So let's look at these Old Testament promises that says that our children are under covenant. What did God the Father promise his children? Isaiah 54:13-17, the Bible says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. So this promise is, they're taught of the Lord, they're obedient, they're peaceful, they're protected when condemned, they're righteous servants, and no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. Why? Because their heritage and their righteousness is from the Lord. Amen. So now this promise is to me. It's mine. Why? Because God has destined in advance, as the son or daughter of a believer, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The seed or the offspring of the righteous are blessed. But how? How can this be? Isaiah 59:21 says, this is important now, guys. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant, my spirit who's upon you, and my words which I have put into your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor to the descendants, their mouths, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. So it's not going to pass. It's always going to be there. And it sounds like to me the words that we speak from our mouth is important because of the effect it has, because it's going to affect the children. It's going to come out of their mouth. Well, who are your descendants? Your children and your grandchildren. And probably your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren. Deuteronomy 7:9 says that the blessings are for 1,000 generations. So let's look, that was the Old Testament promises. Now let's look at the New Testament promises. Now the New Testament promises to me as a child of God, are mine also. Acts 2:17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that's where we are, people, last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. He's talking to the church about your sons and your daughters. God has destined in advance, as a son or daughter of a believer, to be a follower, to prophesy, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The seed or the offspring of the righteous are blessed. Well, how can this happen? Matthew 18:19, it says, if two of you agree on earth touching anything that they ask, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. Now, this is Jesus of the New Testament telling us that God the Father will fulfill this covenant and answer our prayers. John 16:24 says, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be full. If we want to see change, we've got to understand that God does nothing on earth apart from the prayers of the saints. And you can be sure if we pray, he will answer. And these prayers include asking for our children. Now that's a declaration, but then some have been taught, and I'm sorry to say, some taught that came into this congregation to others among us, and I want to straighten it out now. Some have been taught that there are those that are predestined, and there's only the elect that God draws because he knows from the foundation of the earth who will respond. So therefore, he knows who will be saved and who will not be saved. Therefore, he puts his focus on them that will respond, and really our prayers are inconsequential because if they're not predestined to be saved, they're not going to be saved. Let me tell you that theology means that God is an unjust God. And if you believe that, you've been deceived. Why? Because God draws all men. We all have the same chance, all men, because he loves them and he desires no man to be lost. And man can respond to God, or children, our children, adult and young, can respond to God because of our prayers. 2 Peter 3:9 says, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, it's not his will for anyone to be lost. Think about this. If God only draws the predestined or those he knows who will respond, then why in the Old Testament did God say, ask and I'll give you the nations? Have you ever thought about that? This particular passage is talking about the heathen. Would God choose the heathen over the children of the righteous that are under covenant? Well, if God would say, ask for the nations of the heathen, I'll give them to you, how much more would he give the righteous if we ask? How much more? Everyone knows Reinhard Bonnke, right? Greatest evangelist in history to the nation of Africa. God told him to ask for Africa, and God would give it to him. Thus, millions have been won because of Reinhard Bonnke's crusades. Heidi Baker was told by God, God said to her, ask for Mozambique. God gave it to her. Great and powerful things have been done in these countries because, for the very reason, because God desires no one to be lost. He desires souls. God has predestined every man to be saved, but it's up to man to respond favorably. And you can find that in Ephesians 1, 4, 11, and 14. You need to mark that in your Bibles too. You see, God is no respecter of person. Well, how can we be sure they will respond? Well, then what is the purpose of prayer? Right? Sometimes we feel like we can't ask God for things because their sin's too bad, they've strayed too far, or they're just too bad. But if you understand God's love, God is more concerned about our children's hearts than he is the sin that they're involved in. He knows if he can just get their heart, those actions, that sin will just fall short of the grace and the mercy of God, because God is more concerned than we even are for our children. And sometimes we fear for our children, and we should be really afraid enough to the extent to really pray for them. But there's also a righteous, holy fear, and it's a reward for those that fear the Lord. Psalms 103, 17, 18 says, the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him or revere him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant and those who obey his commands. Now, that's a promise for us. That means making them Lord of everything in our lives, and that includes our children. Fear the Lord, be faithful, obey, and expect and understand his sovereignty and might and his commitment to honor the covenant. I've often told prayers, and there's some right in here that knows who I'm talking about. If you really love your children, they're in deep spiritual trouble, then you need to give them. You need to relinquish them totally and completely to the Lord. Completely. Say, Lord, they're yours. And you do it without fear, because God loves them more than you do, and he knows how to handle them. Amen. I have said you may need to pray. Sorry to use your name, Johnny. God, do whatever it takes for Johnny to serve you, not be lost, but have mercy on him. I know the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's already been claimed for you. Lord, have mercy on him. Do give and make whatever circumstances it takes to bring him to a place that he would serve you, but have mercy on him. Lord, make his life count for you. Out of your grace, be merciful. I prayed this for my daughter, and God took her some hard places before she finally got it right. But I trusted God with her. We have to have faith and hope, but we also have to have courage to give them to God. We have to have that courage because things can get hard. And no matter how he chooses to discipline them to bring them back, he knows how to do it well. So God will do what we've asked, what he's promised, but he'll do it the way he needs to do it. Courage takes standing on the word. Now let's go back to the promises of Deuteronomy 7 and 9. It says, he will keep his covenant with those that love him and keep his commandments. Now these promises were not just for the Abrahamic seed, but for all that's grafted in, and that's us. And these same promises were given in Genesis 7, Genesis 9, 9, Genesis 17, 7, then to Jacob again in Genesis 28, 4, then in Deuteronomy 30 and 6, and then again to Jeremiah in 2 and 9. And all his promises are yes and amen. But because of our prayers, our children will be the recipients of, the descendants of righteous prayers, because of this covenant. And if we're righteous and we love him and keep his commandments and we pray and pray. Amen. And if we do these things, we have the legal right. We have the legal right to go to God and petition him for the souls of our loved ones because we've done what he's asked. Amen. And because we're believers, God has already destined our children to be his. We just have to pray them into the kingdom. Now, sometimes God will cause unusual, extraordinary circumstances to bring our children home back to him. Devastating losses, sicknesses, consequences like jail or prison, even death of loved ones. How many people have you ever known has come back to the Lord because of the death of someone they loved? But no matter how far they run, his covenant's with us, because God's love is always there just waiting for them to respond. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Psalms 103:17 says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. That's us. God's everlasting love has claimed and reserved in advance to bless and protect from evil and draw our children's hearts to him. And he will go to extraordinary circumstances to put those in place. And we can be sure God knows what it would take to change their hearts. But we can be sure that he sees their choices from eternity, and he knows how to regulate circumstances to be favorable for their decisions. Not because they ask, but because we ask as parents and grandparents. Genesis 9:9 says, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. I want to look at another concept really quickly. And it says, God will never violate our children's free will. We hear that. I knew a woman, she kind of got in my face and she said, Reverend Carolyn, I just can't believe that you believe that, you would teach that. Children have their own will. Everyone has free will. And if they choose not to serve God, he will not violate their will. I mean, she was saying it just like that. My daughter is not saved. She defies God. I've been praying for her and nothing has happened. You see, God will not violate her will. Well, I think part of the problem was it was her attitude, but I didn't tell her that. But she was absolutely right in part. In part. They do have their own will. But the good news is God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Another sermon from Jensen Franklin. We get these little blurbs off the off Facebook. God's waiting on us. He said, God is waiting for you to pray so that he can dispatch his angels to your children to protect them, to call them, to guide them, to whisper to them. Be sure our prayers brings out the supernatural forces of God to fight the battle for us. That is how it happens, saints. I want you to know. There's been times when I was a single mom and God would have me on the end of the bed praying in the spirit, and there was stuff coming out that was not in the spirit that I was speaking that God wanted me to know for my daughter because he showed me he was protecting her, and it's because of those prayers. And I know he was sending supernatural forces out to protect her. Think about this. This is really good. This is a really good thought. If God gave me children, knowing his covenant to me, and God is in the eternal now, got that one from you. God is in the eternal now, knowing the beginning to the end, and he gave me the children he did, then would God give me children that would not freely choose to receive him if it would violate his covenant with me? After all, he made a covenant with me. God would have to break his word, violate his word, break his covenant of honor if that were so, because that means God will not force them to serve him, but he'll use everything in his disposal to save our children or bring them back to him because of his covenant with us. And guess what? He knows how to handle them properly. We must know it's God's will for our children to serve him. Thus, we can confidently claim our children for the kingdom. Now, sometimes there's a downside. Sometimes we as parents, we see righteousness restored. Little Johnny's come back. Victory's been won. And then the fight begins years down the road later in our children's lives. It may look dismal for you as a parent, seeing your child being broken again by the world. But what we have to do is we have to see them as God sees them. God sees them called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why? To put the spiritual forces of darkness to flight. He doesn't see them as a victim of darkness, but an up-and-coming spiritual victor because they're our children and we're under the covenant. Is that how you see your children? Up and coming spiritual victors. If not, it's time to get on our knees and start praying that, because that's who they've been promised to be. So what is the role or our role in this process? Number one, we live a righteous life before our children. Now, we need to live that righteous life before our children, and it's not just when they're around. I had one person to say, oh, I don't do this in front of my adult child because I don't want to influence them. But I have to say, then why are you doing it? Right. Come The child knows what you're doing. If you don't need to be doing it in front of them, then you don't need to be doing it at all. Now, even after your children are gone, they may be accountable to God for their own salvation. But don't pass anything down. Don't pass anything down that will open up the doors for them to be under attack. Well, what do you mean? Well, what are you allowing into your life? If blessings are passed down through the generations, so is destruction. Deuteronomy 28. So how can I ask God to protect my children if I'm not living a holy life, walking in fellowship and obedience to God? We need to be obedient because of our relationship with God. We can then approach the throne of grace and have confidence that our children will be saved and our prayers be answered. So we live a righteous life and we use the word. We teach, train, nurture, equip them through the application of the word. Normal, regular proverb 22:6 says, train up a child. We know that one. Ephesians 6:4 is a little bit more specific. Train up in the admonition of the Lord. Why? Because this is very important. You read the whole passage of Hebrews 4:12, but basically what it's saying is the word of God releases power into their lives. You train them up because the power of the Lord, of the word in their lives. John 14:26 says, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things, bringing back to their remembrance again and again. It's talking about the word. Plant the word into them and the Holy Spirit will bring it back. That's what the word is for, the power of the word. Now, some of our children have already been taught of the Lord and they're gone. But those that are grown, we can silently guide them with the word of God when we're able to, when they're open to receive. The power of the word that they've been taught, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to them to remind them and convict them and draw them. Deuteronomy 4:9-6:7 says, when are we supposed to teach our children? Teach our children when we talk to them, when we sit in the house, when we walk, when we lie down, when we rise up. In other words, all the time. All the time. Okay, so we've lived righteously before them, teaching, nurturing, guiding them. Then what do? We fight. It's time to fight. We declare warfare over our children. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. In other words, it's saying you wage the warfare. Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, you wage warfare for your people. And that's what he's saying to us. Well, how do we do that? Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God, wield the sword of the Spirit, then start raging war and fight the good fight of faith. What is the good fight of faith? It's prayer, the good fight of prayer. We must tell the enemy in the name of Jesus, take your hands off my babies. Yeah. Then we open the door for God to do whatever is necessary for God to sweep them out of the kingdom of darkness and back into the kingdom of light. That means that we may have to contend with darkness for just a little while. Bill, how long did we contend for one of ours? 40 days and nights. We fought the devil and we won. How do we fight? Number four, we ask God for wisdom and prepare. You have to know your enemy. A war should never be fought without preparation and undergirding yourself. How? With wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So that means we're asking God how to fight for them, how to love them into the kingdom, how to respond to them when they strike out against us, and how to pray for them. Now, take notice of this. The devil will set us up and try to tear down any relationship he can in order to destroy any opportunity to witness to them or to speak to them. You have to know your enemy. That's kind of where living in the Spirit is. Godly wisdom is ours if we ask God for it, if we listen to his answer, and we proceed accordingly. He knows how to extinguish those fiery darts from the enemy. Well, what are the fiery darts? Contentions. Contentions between you and your children. If you don't think it's a fiery dart, ask them. Don't do something that would hinder the relationship. Why? Because Colossians 3:21 and Ephesians 6:3-4, the Bible basically says, do not provoke your children to wrath. That means you may need to speak truth, but don't antagonize them. Don't do it in anger. Do it with wisdom. And then number five, we fight through prayer, praying the word with faith. Because see, like we said, God does nothing on earth apart from the prayers of the saints. We need to listen to how God says to pray. And he says, pray the word with faith. When you pray, see the situation resolved, see the result. And that's where staying in faith comes in. Because when circumstances scream a different message, you have to look at your children through the eyes of faith. You have to see your children as a heritage of the Lord. Because they are. And you've got to draw your spiritual sword and resist the lies of the devil. And the Bible says that the devil will flee, James 4:7. Amen. We may not see it soon, but if we keep it up long enough, yes, he'll have to go. Yes. Number six, we fight by decreeing the word with authority. And then we fight by declaring the blessings, the promises of the word. This means we need to understand, expect, believe the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant are ours. All the gifts, all the promises, all the blessings. Galatians 3:14, 16, and 29. And Psalms 25:12, and 13 says, those that fear the Lord, he shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Psalms 102:28 says, their children will thrive. Psalms 112:1-2 says, an entire generation of godly people will be blessed. That's the New Living Testament. So we speak in faith. Johnny will fear the Lord. He will prosper. He will thrive, and he will be blessed. And then number eight, we have to believe the word, and we've got to know it in our spirit. You can quote it all day long, but if you don't know it in your spirit, it's not going to get you down the road. Even if our children have strayed, he has assured us of his promises. Acts 16:31, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Pastor Sam uses it all the time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You and your household shall be saved. Joel 2:25-26, I shall restore all that the locust has eaten. Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. And 1 Peter 1:23, he will assure them that it lives and abides in them forever. You see, we're the victors, and we have to trust him with our children. And it's not his will for our children to perish. And then number nine, when we believe and know the word, we can ask and we can expect results. We can petition God and we can rest in our spirit and have the assurance that he has heard us, but we have to expect. 1 John, this is a little typo on your notes. I've got 1 John 14:15. It's 1 John 5:14-15. My little backspace got carried away. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have because we ask of him. Amen. So let's recap this a little bit. How do I know my children will come to know God according to his will? God is the same yesterday and forever. God is the same God. He's not the God of some dispensation for an elect, predestined group of people. God has a covenant with me in the Old Testament, and those same promises, that same word is true in the New Testament. And the covenant is for the righteous that love him and keep his commandments, and that covenant includes my kids, my children, my descendants. God says, I can ask anything according to his will, according to his will, and it will be done. So I know I can ask for my child's soul, because it is not God's will for them to be lost, because he's already promised them. Amen. I can expect, because I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So therefore, I can boldly come before the throne of God and expect because I've asked. So if we're going to win this battle for our children, whether they're young or old, if they're small or if they're adults, we must live a righteous life before them. We must teach them and train them and nurture them in the word, and then we fight. We fight by asking God for wisdom, by praying the word with faith, by decreeing the word with authority, by declaring the blessings, the promises of the word, and by believing the word and expecting. So what is the point here? We are losing this generation in this world to this world, young and old. And we can't allow the devil to take our children. We have the resources available to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord and take back what the devil has either taken, stolen, or trying to take. And if your children have strayed from the foundational principles that they were taught, and they've accepted other winds of doctrine, and I mean watered down truths, it's time to do something about it. Now, I hope this information I've given you has given you the resources for what you need, the hope for those that have started the fight or in the fight, and encouragement to continue on. But as I start to close up this tonight, then I'll have Pastor Sam to come and do what he wants to do. There are some here tonight that are a little older, and you may pass on before you see the promises fulfilled. But please rest in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father's promise to you as a faithful warrior. If you've been a faithful warrior and you pass on, have the assurance that God has heard your prayers. He is a faithful God. And because of your relationship with God, His covenant, your prayers, you can have the confidence that your children will come back to the Lord, that your prayers will be answered. I want to encourage you to contend for your children. Recognize the world that we're living in and the battle we're in, because the Lord has given us this. He has given us this for us to contend for our children. Now, the handout that you have, it had your little notes, but what we have here is affirmations and prayers that we can speak over our children, our grandchildren. You can pray the scriptures right here for your children. And there are 20 things that you can pray for your children, like, Lord, I want my child to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I like the last one, find the godly life partner that God is preparing. Yes. And here's a prayer of protection for our children and for the schools, because I think everyone will agree that we need to be praying protection for our schools and our children in the schools.
Good. Great. Was awesome. Wasn't that awesome? That was a tremendous teaching. And thank you, Pastor Carolyn. And I'm going to use those affirmations and prayers for my family. I want you to stand.